This thing hanging around my neck is a pH monitor keeping track of a probe that I went down to Grandview yesterday and they put down in my esophagus or stomach or somewhere down in there trying to find out why I'm having a reflux bad. So I take this back tomorrow sometime, so I only have to do this 2 days. If you're a first-time visitor here today, don't judge this book by its cover. The Pastor Kurt is home with a new baby, and for some strange reason, he asked me to fill in for him today. He'll be back next week, so please come back and hear him, and don't go off thinking, boy, that wasn't much going on there. For the rest of you, if you're wondering, what in the world is he doing up there? I'm wondering that too. I am not a preacher. My dad was, his dad was, and his grandfather was. I don't know whether anybody thought I would be or not, but I'm not. That's not anything I've been called to do. But I am glad that since I'm up here today, some time has passed since Mitch and Jeff were up here, because you'll find out pretty quick that I can't hold a candle to them guys. So my primary job in church is teaching a Sunday school class. That's what I primarily do here, what I consider the most important thing that I do here. And I am confident that I have been called to do that. I know people say they don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing here in the kingdom, and I suppose there are people that haven't figured that out, but I am confident that I have been called to do that. 50 years ago, Dolly and I were in a young married people's class down in Beaver Creek that was taught by Air Force Colonel Paul Montgomery. And one Sunday, there's about a dozen couples in this class. None of us had any kids, and we hung out together and went somewhere to eat every Sunday. So we're a pretty close group. And when he told us one Sunday that he was retiring from the Air Force, going back to Oklahoma, we left that day to go eat someplace, and on the way, Dolly asked me who I thought they would get to teach our class. And I told her, said, I don't know, but I know who's supposed to teach it. And she said, who? And I said, me. And so she asked me if I was going to volunteer. Are you going to hunt up somebody and volunteer to do that? I said, no, I'm not. I'm curious to see if the Holy Spirit has told anybody but me that I'm supposed to teach that class. So that evening, we went back to church that evening, and the chairman of the nominating committee come up to me, and he asked me if I'd pray about something. And I asked him what, and he said, well, teaching Paul's class. And I told him, I don't need to pray about it, I'll do it. And that's been 50 years ago, I suppose. I had felt a definite, what preachers call a call to teach. I just knew I was supposed to do that. I feel comfortable doing that. When I'm downstairs in my class, I feel comfortable doing that. But I'll tell you, I am completely out of my element up here. But the pastor asked me to do this, so here I am. I'm not sure what he's driving at here, but here I am. I want to talk to you this morning about a topic. One of the few things I have, several tapes of my dad preaching. He preached for 30 years. Grandpa did for 60 years. I'm not sure how long great-grandpa did. But about the only thing I have left other than these tapes is a sermon outline that he had about the two natures. The two natures. Thanks to Adam, we are all born with a physical, sinful nature. And thanks to Christ, we can also have a spiritual, holy nature. So if there's anybody here, there's people here I don't know all that well. If anybody here this morning, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, or what the Bible says, been saved, you are scripturally, spiritually dead. In Ephesians 2:1, Paul reminds the believers at Ephesus that prior to their salvation, they were dead in trespasses and sins. In the following verse, he describes the characteristics of that sinful nature of the flesh, saying that all unsaved people are primarily involved in fulfilling the desires of the flesh. It's not the unsaved person's fault. They were born that way. Ephesians 4:22 calls it the old man. The old man. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 calls it the natural man. So you were born with an old man, a natural man. Romans 8:7 says the natural man has a carnal, that means flesh. He has a flesh mind that is enmity or hostile against God. The books of Romans and Jeremiah both say there is no good thing in that natural man. And both of those books also say the nature of the flesh cannot be changed. So an unsaved person can forget about turning over a new leaf. We hear that expression a lot. And somehow becoming acceptable to God here on earth, and more importantly, at the judgment day. Can't turn over a new leaf and get acceptable with God. Genesis, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians all say that God has pronounced the sentence of death against the natural man. And except for two men, Enoch and Elijah, every person who has lived on earth has died or will die unless you and I escape death in the rapture. But tragically, the old man or the natural man will die twice if he's not saved. Revelations 21:8 describes him being cast into the lake of fire as the second death. His body will have died, but his eternal soul will live in torment forever. But fortunately, as John 3:16 tells us, there is a spiritual nature that Colossians 1:27 calls Christ in you, the hope of glory. John and Peter both call that spiritual nature life, and they call the physical nature death. So this divine nature, this Christ nature, comes into your life through the Holy Spirit and the written word. The Holy Spirit is the agent that makes it happen, and the written word is the instrument in the hands of the Spirit to explain how it happens. Jesus explained it to Nicodemus that it is possible to be born twice, physically and spiritually. In John 3:6, he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So the saved person is born twice and dies once, while the unsaved person is born once and dies twice. Unfortunately, there's nothing you can do to get rid of the old nature. When you get saved, These two natures dwell side by side in each believer. In Romans 7, 18 through 23, it tells us the flesh side is constantly fighting the spirit side. I'm, along with a couple other guys I know in here, a Star Wars junkie. And I know without a doubt, from personal experience, that the dark side of the force is always right under the surface. I'm always surprised how easily it can surface and take over. It reminds me of the story about the preacher that was riding a bicycle down the street, and he stopped to talk to a boy who was pushing a lawnmower down the sidewalk. During their conversation, the boy mentioned that he sure would like to have a bike. And the preacher said, "Well, I need a mower." And he asked the boy if you'd be willing to trade. And the boy said, "Yeah." So he asked the boy, "Well, does the mower start and does it run?" The boy said, "Yes, it does." And the trade was made. Well, about a week later, the preacher ran into the boy and he told him that the mower wouldn't start after several pulls on the rope. And the boy told him, "Well, you gotta cuss it." And the preacher said, "Well, I can't do that. I've forgotten all of those cuss words." The boy said, "Keep yanking on the rope. They'll all come back to you." So that dark side is always right under the surface. In Romans 7, 18 through 21, Paul told the Romans that in his own life, in Paul's own life, he said, "I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me." Now, in the life of the believer, the flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit is equally against the flesh. This fight is always going on. Galatians 5:17 pictures the spirit as the aggressor resisting the power of the inbred, sinful, fleshly nature. It's the white dog versus the black dog, and which one wins is up to you. Because the spirit gives you the power to resist the natural man. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The new believer and the immature believer are especially vulnerable. 1 Peter 2 reminds us that the new believer is a babe in Christ. That babe is nourished and sustained by feeding on the Word of God. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now you have five responsibilities as a believer in relation to the old fleshly nature. Number one, never attempt to improve it. This leaf turning thing. Never attempt to improve it. Romans 7:8 says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me," that is, in my flesh. Second, you have to starve it. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to satisfy its desires. Number three, treat it as if it were dead. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify, therefore, your members. Fourth, kill the natural tendencies of it. Colossians 3:5 goes on to list those tendencies as fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil sexual desires, and covetousness. And fifth, Ephesians 4:22 says, to put the old man off, like taking off an old coat you no longer intend to wear. So those are the responsibilities in relation to the old flesh. You also have five responsibilities to the new spiritual nature. First, Galatians 5:25 says, live in the Spirit. Jesus Christ is to be the center of your entire life. Second, put on the new man. That other than we put off the old man, we're going to put on the new man. Colossians 3:5 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that old coat you put off? Well, you put on the new coat. Take the old coat off, put the new coat on. Third, walk in the Spirit. When Paul uses the expression walk, he's talking about how you live your life. You live your life in the Spirit. Fourth, feed the new nature with the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And fifth, learn to depend on the energy of the indwelling Holy Spirit. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. Ephesians 3:20 says, Christ is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And finally, there are five things we must remember about the two natures. First one is, you're stuck with it. You're stuck with it. You must live with it. You won't get rid of it until you either die or Christ returns at the rapture. It's always there. Second, each of these two natures requires different food. And the food that sustains one will starve the other. Shakespeare or the best-selling novel will not feed the new nature. And the Word of God won't feed the old nature. Third, you can't feed both natures at the same time. The mind is the channel by which this food is taken in, and it can only receive one class of food, thought food, at a time. Fourth, when you accept Christ, you are no longer under the law, so that old nature is legally dead to you. Legally, it is dead to you. It's there very much alive, but not legally. You can always bring it back to life by putting yourself under the law. It's called legalism. Paul is speaking to believers in Galatians 5:4 when he said, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Most of the various religious denominations and sects teach their members that they are not saved just by faith in Christ and grace alone. They think they are saved by grace plus some good works that they are relying on, or they're saved by grace minus whatever it is you're doing that they're not doing. They got a list of what you could or should or shouldn't do. The old evangelist Vance Havner, he was talking about legalism. He said to somebody, so, you don't smoke or drink? You can say that about a fence post. Fifth thing is that just because you're saved doesn't mean you can't sow to the flesh. Paul was talking to believers in Galatians 6, 7, and 8 about sowing and reaping. He said, "Sow to the flesh, and you will reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, and you will reap life everlasting." You may beat the Methodist to the restaurant today if you don't go to our party down at the gym, because I'm gonna be done here for long. In closing, here are five ways to deal with the old nature. You need to know this because he's there. He's under the surface. That dark side of the force is always there. One, deny its claims for life. Deny its claims for life. In Monty Python's movie, The Holy Grail, there's this cart going around town collecting the bodies of those people that have died overnight. This cart's piled full of bodies. And they're carrying out this one guy, and this guy's got him over his shoulder. This guy says, "I'm not dead yet." And the guy says, "Shut up. You will be." So you got to be ready to say that to that old nature when he speaks up and tries to come to the surface. He'll tell you, "I'm not dead yet." Say, "Well, you will be. You will be." Second, deny its claims for righteousness or unrighteousness. Solomon made the following statement twice in Proverbs 14:12 and again in 16:25. He said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." When the old man whispers, "Here's what you should do," you'll hear him whisper that. "Here's what I think you ought to do." Watch out. Watch out when he does that. Third, yield to the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:13 says, "Yield yourselves unto God." And Romans 6:19 says, "Yield your members, servants, to righteousness and holiness." Fourth thing, feed the new nature and starve the old. My grandpa Lawler always ended his prayer at the dinner table with, "Bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and feed our souls on the riches of your grace." Wonderful old man. I can remember hearing him say that. He'd also say, "Ken, pass those biscuits back over here. I've got more gravy left." And then pretty soon he'd say, "Pass that gravy over here. I can't get my biscuits and my gravy to come out even." He's a wonderful old man. Fifth, walk in the dependent faith that God has called us with a holy calling. Paul told Timothy, "God has saved us and called us with a holy calling." If you're a believer, it's going to be hard work to keep the old man down. Stay aware of him and seek the advice of the new man to help you control him. If you don't have the new man in your life, you are a dead man walking. You need to come up and talk to Jeff or Mitch or me. Be sure to give Kurt a call or stop by his office when he gets back. I'm assuming he'll probably be back Tuesday. He's around. He's not gone anywhere. He's just home taking care of this new baby. When this life is over, you're going to want to cross the River Jordan to heaven, not the River Styx to hell. Got two rivers out there. So let's pray. Father, help us to understand this teaching about the two natures. We want to be children that you'd be proud of. and who are living the kind of life that can be useful to you. Putting that old man down and living as the new man seems impossible at times, but we know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be up here with Jeff, and Mitch is here. If you want to talk to one of us about salvation or baptism or church membership or about problems that you're having, you may be having, with the old nature. So I said the pastor will probably be in his office this week, so give him a call if you'd rather talk to him.